Have you ever noticed that when they send a probe up into outer space to check out a planet or to check out one of the moons of some planet, one of the things that they're always looking for is whether there is any signs of water on that planet. Because they believe that if there is or has been water, there is life, or there could be life, or there could have been life in the past. Life as you and I know it depends upon water. And where there is water, there is the possibility of life. And where there is no water, life is impossible. If you look through the scriptures, water is a very frequent theme. Remember the story of creation, how God's Spirit moved over the waters and brought forth all of creation. Remember the waters of the great flood, in which all but the sinners, but the sinners died, and Noah and his family survived. Remember the waters of the Red Sea, through which Israel passed as they left Egypt to return to the promised land. Remember the waters of the Jordan that they had to cross. If you come to John's Gospel, we again have a lot of references to water. There is the first of Jesus' signs when he transforms water into wine. There is his statement. It says it was the last and the greatest day of the festival. He says, all who thirst come to me, and fountains of living water will rise up within you. Then, of course, we have the story today. The story of the water and that relationship with the Samaritan woman. And then finally, in John's Gospel, we have Jesus hanging on the cross and his side being punctured with a spear and blood and water flow out. Water is a powerful symbol of life. And the scriptures use water often in its symbolic way. In the reading this morning of the Samaritan woman, it begins with Jesus asking for water, something to drink. Then he promises the woman that he could give her living water. And at first she doesn't understand, and she says, well, give me that water, and I won't have to keep coming back here. But then as the conversation progresses, she realizes that he's referring to something more. It's interesting that John gives us the detail that she left her pitcher and went back to the town to tell everyone about this person that she had met. Was that leaving the pitcher a symbol of her leaving her old life and coming to Christ, who is the life-giving water, finding life in him? The church is very much wanting to present today to those who are about to be baptized at the Easter Vigil this story of living water. And what it is saying to them is, yes, you will be reborn in water, but the real source of your life will be Christ Jesus, our Savior. He is the one that will give you that living water, that life that will never end. And that if you open your hearts to Him, His life will become a fountain of life for you. And if you allow it, His life will flow from you and bring life to others. It's a message not only for those about to be baptized. It's a message for each and every one of us. Do we keep coming to Christ, the source of life-giving water? Do we believe in the very depths of our being that if we open ourselves to Christ Jesus, He can fulfill the deepest longings, the deepest thirsts that we have within us? Just like the woman at the well had to leave something behind, symbolized by that pitcher, we too must leave things behind. Our sinful habits, our attachments to things in our life that are more important than our relationship to God. And yet, if we look at that woman, it wasn't painful. She found new life, and it was much better than the life that she had to leave behind her. Jesus would want to say the same to us. Whatever you must let go of, in order to open your hearts to me, He would say, will not bring you pain, but deep and abiding joy. This Lenten season invites us to look at those things that serve as obstacles to the life of Christ within us. It invites us to have the courage and strength to let go, to open our hearts to Christ our Savior, so that He can fill us with His life-giving water.